Father, we pause for a moment and ask that you would you'd fill us with your Spirit so that the words that I communicate from your holy word would fall not on deaf ears, but ears that are eager to hear and apply to our lives what your truth proclaims. And so I pray that you would help me to clearly communicate to your people today, and I pray that your people would be able to clearly hear your word. I ask your blessing on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in the book of Genesis, of course, and last week I must have been a little still freaked out by the mouse story that I told you about, because I said that you might be able to read all 50 chapters of Genesis in an hour and a half or so. Well, that's if you drink like three or four Red Bulls, and then you skip every fifth word or something. I don't know. There's no way you can read through it in an hour and a half. So actually, it probably would take you closer to 4 to 5 hours to read through the book of Genesis. And as you read the book of Genesis, they're not intended for you to read one chapter at a time. It's one big story. Of course, there's segments, right, where different characters come and go, and it's easier to kind of leave off at some places than others. Right now, we're in the midst of the Joseph story, which comes after Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now it's Jacob's 12 sons, with the emphasis being on Joseph. It's meant to, you know, chapters 37 through 50 really should be read in one sitting, which maybe that'll take you an hour and a half. But for today, we're going to be in chapter 43. Last week, we covered chapter 42, and in that particular chapter, we read about Joseph's brothers being sent to Egypt because of the famine. Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to get food for their starving family. And there was food in Egypt because God had given Pharaoh dreams 8 years earlier that there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph was elevated to the position of second in command of Egypt and stored all of the grain so that the nations could survive the famine that was to come. In chapter 42, Jacob's sons, of course, went to Egypt, and they interacted with Joseph, but they didn't know that it was Joseph. Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize Joseph. And in that chapter, we read about several tests. We read about the tests of obedience, honesty, guilt, power, integrity, and faith. And we also read in the New Testament then that God allows tests in our lives as believers in order to give us perseverance so that we might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jacob, at the end of the chapter 42, he's holding on tight to Benjamin. He's holding on tight to him because of fear. He doesn't want to lose this other son of Rachel. He's already lost, in his mind, he's already lost Joseph. He doesn't want to lose Benjamin as well. And so Jacob is pulling on Benjamin in this direction, and there in Egypt, it's as if Joseph is pulling on Benjamin the other direction. Here's Benjamin caught in this tug of war between Joseph and Jacob. So what will happen? Well, we're going to read chapter 43 to see it. So today, it's the second journey to Egypt by the brothers of Joseph. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. You follow along with me, and then we'll see what's here. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. Because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, 'Bring your brother down here'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once." so that we and you and your children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. We beg your pardon, our Lord, they said. We came down here the first time to buy food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight, in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were. And then he said, how is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, your servant, our father, is still alive and well. And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. And he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son. He asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out controlling himself and said, serve the food. They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Amen. As we consider this chapter, I would like to ask you this question before we get into it. What did Joseph's brothers deserve? Now remember, these brothers, 10 of them, had thrown Joseph in a pit to die in the desert. They were going to leave him to die. And as he cried out for help, they ignored him. And then Judah came up with the scheme, let's sell him. And they all agreed. What do these brothers deserve now that the tables are turned and Joseph is the one in power? And they are asking for his help. Do they deserve Joseph to be merciless, for him to torture them? Do they deserve slavery or prison? Do they deserve eye for eye, tooth for tooth? What did they actually receive from Joseph? They received unexpected grace. Unexpected. It was a surprise. It was unforeseen. It was startling. It was astonishing. And it was grace. It was gifts in which nothing was owed in return. There was a love. There was a compassion. There was a getting something that they didn't deserve. What did they deserve? They deserved punishment. What did they get? Unexpected grace. And so as you read through the chapter, especially the second half, there's seven things here that I want you to see, and I'm going to quickly go over them. And the first one is they received an invitation. It's verses 16 and 17. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon." The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. These brothers, they were going to eat with the second in command of Egypt. Is this what they deserved? No. What they deserved was what they thought was going to happen. There in verse 18, it says that they were frightened when they were taken to the house. They believed he wanted to attack them and overpower them and seize them as slaves and take away their donkeys. Yet what did they get? They got an invitation to come into the house. They also received, verse 23, assurance from the steward. Verse 23, the steward says, "It's all right," he said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver." After they confessed and they were afraid, because they still thought that the ruler thought that they were spies. They deserved fear and retribution and doubt, and yet what did they receive? Comforting words of assurance that say, "Don't be afraid. It's all right. Don't be afraid." In that same verse, you see that Simeon was given his freedom. He was released from the prison that Joseph had put him in. They all deserved to be locked up and the key thrown away for the 20 years. The original event when they got rid of Joseph had happened over 20 years ago. And yet, what did they receive? And Simeon in particular, he received his freedom. Unexpected grace despite his guilt, his obvious guilt. Verse 24 shows that they received cleansing. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They deserved no amenities, no comfort. And yet, what did they receive after their long journey through the hot desert? Water to wash their feet. Unexpected grace. Verses 27 through 29. They also received conversation. Conversation with who? The second in command of all of Egypt. The one in charge of distributing the grain. The one who would seal their fate, so to speak. He asked them, and he being Joseph, he asked them how they were. And he said to them, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." They didn't deserve conversation with this royal official. They deserved the silent treatment. They deserved to be scolded and rebuked and reprimanded and berated for their behavior. And yet, what did they receive? They received comforting questions. Questions about their father's well-being and a gracious blessing for Benjamin. The story continues. There in verse 33, they received a position at the table. They deserve to be thrown out and punished and to stand in judgment, and yet they're given a seat at the table. They were to dine in royalty at the table. Little did they know of Joseph. Imagine the scene. Imagine how strange this must have been for them. Finally, there in verse 34, they receive abundance. A lavish meal in the midst of this great famine that has consumed nations. Here are these men sitting with this ruler eating this lavish meal. And Benjamin gets five times as much as everybody else. They deserve nothing. And yet they received food and drink fit for a king. How odd this must have been. And they didn't even realize who it was that they were sitting with. That's coming up in the chapters in 44 and 45. But Joseph knows them. And he remembers what they did to him. Now he's in a position of authority and power. What does he do with it? He extends unexpected grace to them. Next week, we'll read chapter 44, in which he will give them one final test before he reveals his identity to them. But as we've read this chapter and as I've meditated on this week, it's striking to me, and again, I don't plan these things, but it's striking to me the similarities between these men as they came into this unexpected grace, coming to this table. And here before us today, we have a table at which we are coming to, of which we do not deserve. As a matter of fact, what do you deserve from Almighty God? What do you deserve? And I suppose really the answer to that at this point depends on whether you're a believer or an unbeliever in Jesus. If you're an unbeliever, you're not a Christ follower. If you reject that he is the Son of God, that he is who he says he is, then what do you deserve? Well, there's bad news. You deserve eternal separation from God. You deserve eternal death because of your sins. I'm not making the rules. That's God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who has made the rules. He's holy. And we, as humans, have broken his laws and justly deserve to be punished eternally. We deserve hell. We deserve damnation. We deserve eternal punishment because of our rebellion against this holy God. But there is good news. It's called the gospel. The good news that was proclaimed. The good news in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. I can quote verses on the fourth Sunday of the month. That's about it. If you believe in Christ, then you are given an unexpected grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. You either reject Christ or you embrace Him. And isn't it interesting, for those who have been adopted into the family because of simple belief, simple faith in Christ, that the list of unexpected grace that you receive is the same that these men who are coming before Joseph received. What's the list? Well, let's quickly go through it. The first thing of unexpected grace that we receive as believers in Christ is an invitation. There are many invitations in the scriptures. The one I chose was Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy and thy burden is light." What else do we receive as believers? This unexpected grace that we don't deserve. Well, we also receive assurance. 1 John 5, 11 and 12 states it this way. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." He's given us assurance, unexpected grace. He's also given us freedom. John 8, 36, Jesus said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You're no longer slaves. You're free. You don't deserve to be free. You deserve hell for your sins. And yet, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. What else has He given us? He's given us cleansing. 1 John 1, 7. John writes, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Just because you came to Christ at a certain point in time doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. Those sins are paid for, they're covered. But when we mess up, we want to confess those to Him. Make it right. Acknowledge them before Him so that our relationship, so that we can have fellowship with Him. What else do we have? Well, we have conversation. John 10, 27, the passage about the good shepherd and his sheep. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me." There's a two-way conversation that goes on when you're in the family of God. We know His voice, and certainly He knows our bleats, our bleeding, right? Is that what sheep do? Do they bleat? Yes, whatever that sounds like. I'm not going to imitate for you. Maybe if Micah were up here, he'd do it for you. We have conversation as a part of the family. When you're an unbeliever, I don't think God hears your prayers. He hears them, but He doesn't acknowledge them. The only prayer He hears is, "I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." What else does He give us? He gives us position. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says it this way, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show His incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." What has He given us? A seat at the table. Position. Seated us with Christ. Unexpected grace. The last thing that He has given us is abundance. Philippians 4:19 says it this way, Paul says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." You don't deserve it, but he's extended it to you because he's good. He loves you. Part of the family, he's adopted you. Unexpected grace. If you flip back to Genesis 43, you'll see that the very last line of the chapter, it says, "So they feasted and drank freely with him." Imagine the scene. After all of their nerves have been settled, the worry has gone away. They're just eating and feasting and drinking together around this table, having a great time. No fear. We have an opportunity to come to the table of Jesus to feast and to drink in remembrance of him. We call it communion. And we get to celebrate it together today as the family. And so if you're a believer in Christ, this is your table. And so our tradition, our pattern that we do is we're going to take a couple of minutes of silence to reflect on what you've heard and to hear the voice of God speaking truth to you. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to confess sin, to be washed, to be cleansed. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to be reminded of just how important you are in his eyes. And so we'll take a couple of minutes of silence. Tyler and Haley, maybe just Tyler, somebody is going to come, and we'll sing a song together, and then I'll ask the elders to come. We'll pass out the elements. If this is your first time here, I don't know if we have any first-timers here or not today, but if you're a believer in Jesus, then you're welcome to take the elements today. We'll pass the bread, hang on to it, we'll all take it together. We'll pass the cup, hang on to it, we'll all take it together. If you're not a believer in Jesus, this is not for you, because this is just for the family. And so we'd ask you to just pass it on by, and nobody's going to say anything. So let me pray, and then we'll go to the Lord in some silence. So, Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your truth. I thank you for how beautifully the story of chapter 43 has aligned with our story today. Of how we come to the table, we don't deserve it, but yet you've extended this grace to us, and I pray that it would sink deep into our souls, that we would be able to rejoice because of your amazing grace to us. So I ask your blessing on our time of communion. May we remember and proclaim your death until you come. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.